Thank you for introduction, Cody. I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I am thankful that each of you are here this evening, and I hope that you will be thankful for yourselves as well. Also, for those who are tuned in on the live streaming, I hope that you will find something beneficial with this message tonight. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. I just have some thoughts that I want to share about this morning's service. We had a really good preaching service this morning, and I want to really just kind of expand on that idea and that principle. And so I'd like to ask you to recall this morning's service and the things that D.A. read to us and the principles that he was speaking to us about. That idea of building up your treasure in heaven. He started out and he had, and I'm not going to do a whole recap, but he had a description of many people's lives, of the house that they built today, that they're building in their life today with insurance, jobs, all of those things, education, you know, maybe I'm embellishing that a little bit, but, you know, all those things that we do to build our house up that we have on earth today. And then he talked about the parable where a man was building filling his barn up and with the things of the life today. So if we can kind of put our frame of mind back there, and that's kind of where I want to continue and go forward. And so out of Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 28 and 29, and Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." So that promise is much greater than we can imagine, much greater than anything that we can find in this life, that Christ is giving to us, and what that eternal life can mean for us. And that's what we need to focus on. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So Christ has given us life. He has quickened us. And we were once dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And so those are the riches that Christ is talking about, that treasure in heaven that we should build up. And so though we make a sacrifice in this life, we have something greater to look forward to. And so whether that sacrifice is that you give up your Sunday afternoon and you're in church, or you give up time to help another, or you give up time to study your scriptures, we can see all of those sacrifices that we must make in our lives today that we would be blessed according to the promises of Christ. And so when we think about building up our treasures in heaven, we can benefit today. All of those gifts of God, all of the gifts of the Spirit. We had an administration here this evening. That blessing that can come through that administration. One of those treasures that's promised by Jesus Christ that we can have with us today. So not everything is sacrificed. There are many things that are gained in this life by being a believer in Jesus Christ. We not only have the future to look forward to of eternal life, but we have happiness that we can have with us today and peace and comfort when we need it, help when we need it, strength when we need it. All of those things that are treasures we can have today. And so it is that our minds need to be renewed and not concentrate on the losses that we might presume that we would have, the money that we would miss out on, the pleasure of fishing on a Sunday afternoon when we should be in church. And yeah, I said it. Or enjoying a football game or a baseball game or whatever it is that draws you away from the house of God. And it says here, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. And so if we think about how precious those things are to us, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and wives, how precious are they? They should be the most precious things to us on this earth. And he's asking you to give them up for something greater. And so compare that to football, baseball, fishing, hunting, sitting under the stars and contemplating the universe and thinking that you're communing with God. Those are the treasures that we are to consider. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So there we are, of the household of God. And so if we gave up brother or sister or mother or wife or children or lands, because of all of those things were considered the household in those days, if we gave up all of those things, we should be part of the household of God to have all of those things returned to us in greater abundance. And so do you look at the church that way? Do you think of the church as the household of God, with brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and loved ones? I hope so. I hope so. Because what Christ is asking us to give up, he has a replacement for it. And that replacement is so much better, whether it's here on earth or whether it's in heaven with God. But he's not asking us to make a sacrifice without filling that void with something else better. And so sometimes we have a tendency to think of our personal loss when we have to give something up, because Christ has asked us to do that. When he's asked us to be here on Sunday, when he's asked us to take the time to pray, to be concerned for one another, when he's asked us to listen to his word and be obedient unto his commandments, we start thinking about what we're losing, the fun that we're missing out on, the pleasure that we're not having that day, because we've forgotten what he has for us is better. And that's where I want us to think of what he has given us by making us part of his household. In verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So, it looks to me like it's a win-win situation. We don't really lose much. We have everything to gain. Sometimes it's hard for us to see it that way. You know, there's an idea in the world today that God is good, and he is good, and that everything good comes of God, and that God will do everything for us that is good. And that's a true thought. It's a true statement. Because when God chastises us, it is for our own good, for his purposes, that he would not lose his workmanship, us, that we would be saved. And that is his purpose in that. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that God takes no pleasure in that, but the pleasure he takes in it is the result, that if it turns a soul towards him, then he can rejoice in that and take pleasure in it. For he bruised his son for our sakes, and that was not a pleasure for God, but yet it must be that we can be saved. And so it pleased him that Jesus suffered. And so chastisement is much that same way. It's not welcome. It's not pleasant. But it is something that's necessary from time to time. But so there's this idea today that amongst many people that that you don't need to go to church to be close to God, that you can commune with God wherever you're at, and you don't really have to make a sacrifice because he's always there for you. You don't have to make an effort because God's there in the background making everything good. And this really is an idea that's kind of an undercurrent of a lot of religious philosophies today. And the problem with that is, if you ignore God, he'll ignore you. I mean, he won't forget you, but if you ignore him, you know, if he places a stumbling block in your path to get you to wake up and pay attention to him, and you ignore that, what else can he do? What else? Eventually, you'll go along your way, and you've ignored him. And so it's up to us to pay attention to God. It's up to us to look at the riches of this world and to look at also the gifts of God and weigh them out and decide which ones are right, which ones do we want in our lives, and where is it taking us. And so Brother David, this morning, he read out of Luke, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. And so, in verse 21, he layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And so that's what I'm talking about, is being rich towards God and not waiting. Not waiting for everlasting life to be rich towards God. You can be rich towards God today. You can have faith. We can obey his commandments. We can have charity for one another. We can attend church and be part of that house of God that he has made us into, and not ignore him, and be rich towards him today. Because if we're waiting until eternal life to be rich towards God, we kind of miss the boat. We miss the point. 1 Corinthians, we've read this before. It's concerning the church. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as ye were led Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so that Spirit within the house of God is given to every man to profit everyone. And so if we withhold ourselves, if we separate ourselves from the body of Christ, we miss out. We lose. You know, if we're out, and I'm just going to say it again, if we're out enjoying our life and not where the saints are gathered in, we lose. We miss out. Because that's the treasure. And that's what God has freely given. And is it really a sacrifice to take part in it? That's the question you have to answer yourself. Is where do you want to be? You have to weigh it out. What's of more value? And it is not only, and I'm not trying to trivialize eternal life, but it is also about today and tomorrow. How you help your brother. How you raise your children. It is about that as well. And the gifts and the blessings that he gives you so that you can do that in a godly fashion. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another with the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so, those are the things you give up, the things that you need from God. And so many times we hear judgment. Why don't we see more of this, that, or the other in the church? And people judge the church. But really, we should be looking at ourselves. Because, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a noise? Okay. So if God gives a miracle and there's nobody in the pew to see it, did it happen? Think about it. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And so how can we be the body of Christ? And I'm floating on the river, and I've got my fishing pole, or I'm in my deer stand, which I don't hunt, but I kind of get the idea, and I'm waiting for that deer, and I'm all by myself. How am I the body of Christ? How can I be with Christ? Really, Answer that question. Answer it in yourself. Because it takes all of these things to be the body of Christ. All of these gifts, wisdom, understanding, kindness, love. How can you be that all by yourself? You can't. But how hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So each one of us lacks something. Each one of us. He's listing various degrees of, I guess you would say, I don't know, some having more than others and others having less of something. All these different various degrees, but all of us lack. None of us can take advantage of what the other has unless we're together. And if he gives more abundantly to one part of the body, the one that has received less receives it as well if we're together. And so this is the church. And so if we go to the 26th verse, and whether one member suffereth, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so I'm going to ask you the question again. I'm going to keep asking that question again. Is it right? Is that a good idea to take yourself, even if it's you and your family? Because if you take your family off in the boat ride on Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever it is, because if it's a reunion and it's on a Tuesday night or Monday, it's the same thing. You take your family on a boat ride, you're deprived of them of the rest of the family of God for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, you know, we really have to think about it. Is it selfish? Is that idea selfish to say that I can be with God if I'm on my deer stand or with my fishing pole or on this watching a football game or skiing or whatever the case may be or hiking? You get the idea. Painting, whatever it is, that pastime or pleasure that you feel that is important to you. Is that selfishness? Yeah, it is. Because God's really not in that picture. It's just you. And so that's where that idea comes in, that, you know, I can live my life and God's just kind of there. He's taking care of everything in the background for me, and he's making everything great so that when I have trouble, I can go to him and pray and ask for what I need, and I can depend on him to take care of that. And then the moment everything is great, I just go on my own way and I forget about God. Is that the way it's supposed to be? No, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Because when we suffer all together. It doesn't say we're not never going to suffer. It doesn't say that we shouldn't make sacrifices. So that idea is not a good one. Verse 26, and whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity faulteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And so one day we will stand before God. We will stand before Christ. I don't know what he's going to say. Is he going to say, where were you? I couldn't find you. We know he can find us. He can find us anywhere. But what will he say? And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These things, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And so those gifts, that blessings that are for us, that God has put in the church for us, are a treasure. And that's my point. Really, it's not my point, it's Christ's point. I'm just trying to pass it on. You know, I think that one of the best things that the technology has done for us is live streaming. You know, it helps unite the church. It helps bring those together that can't be physically with us. And so I hope that when you cannot attend a church, you cannot attend a local, you're taking advantage of those things. Whether it's live streaming, phone church, all of those things are gifts. You know, they're not things that are listed in the Bible that would have been a mystery for them to even understand. I can't even imagine how they would receive that kind of prophecy of the future, what a television or a computer might look to them, if they could even describe it in a way that could be put in a language to understand. I don't know. But I see that as a as a wonderful gift for the church. And clearly by God's hand that we are able to take advantage of those things. And so I'm glad for those that are tuned in tonight, watching on live streaming, that they're taking advantage, taking the time away from the world to unite themselves however they can with God. And how much better it is, and how much blessed, more blessed that we are, and now I'm going to put a guilt trip on you, that we are here in Independence where we can get in the car and be here. How much better it is, even though they're blessed with the live streaming, that you have so much more of a blessing than they do, a greater, more comfort, because you can be here physically. I hope that's not misunderstood by our friends that are tuning in. I just want to put a little guilt on you. Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand." And so where are you building your house? Is it with God? Or are you living in the house that God built? You know, he created a household for us. It's called the church. And he expected that we would have to make sacrifices to be part of it. Is that the house you want to be in, or one of your own? There are many, many people have ideas about God today that deceive us, that can carry us away, that sound right to us when we hear it. It sounds good. But if it takes us away from his house, it's not good. There might even be miracles wrought in those places, fine acts of faith, of courage, and of belief. But is it his house? Is it the house of God that they are living in? I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon, Mosiah. Chapter 11. Verse 120. "And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord. What he said unto... What should I do concerning this matter? for he feared that he should do wrong in the sight of God. And it came to pass that after he had poured out his whole soul to God, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, Blessed art thou, Alma, and blessed are they who are baptized in the waters of Mormon. Thou art blessed because of thy exceedingly faith in the words alone of my servant Abinadi. And blessed are they because of their exceedingly faith in the words alone which thou hast spoken unto them. And blessed art thou because thou hast established a church among this people, and they shall be established, and they shall be my people. Yea, blessed is this people who are willing to bear my name, for in my name shall they be called. They're mine. A church. Do you still think that you can be a part of the church of God, Christ's church, floating along on the lake, skiing down the slope, making that your purpose? I am being plain. I am grateful that you are here tonight because you have recognized where you should be. But there are those of us that we know should be here and are not. It's up to us to find the words to convince them. It's up to us to help them understand where they should be. And so, yeah, I'm kind of speaking to the choir. So it's your job to sing. It's your job to go out and remind the sons and the daughters and the grandparents or the grandchildren and the grandparents, whoever they might be, to remind them, if they're the body of Christ, where they should be. And because thou hast inquired of me concerning the transgressor, thou art blessed. Thou art my servant, and I covenant with thee that thou shalt have eternal life, and that thou shalt serve me, and go forth in my name, and shall gather together my sheep. And he that will hear my voice shall be my sheep, and him shall ye receive unto the church, and him will I also receive. So yes, the church is necessary. It's vital. Christ made a church. He said, this is how you do it. Not any other way. This is how you do it. No, but because I had a spiritual experience with some other enjoyment. This is the way. For behold, this is my church. Whosoever is baptized shall be baptized unto repentance. And whosoever ye receive shall believe in my name, and him will I freely forgive. For it is that is I that taketh upon me the sins of the world. For it is I that hath created them, and it is I that granteth unto him that believeth in the end a place at my right hand. Thank you for your time. Please consider those things. And so consider your loved ones and your brothers and sisters. Think about what you might do to get them here. It's a necessary thing. Please pray for me, and I'll continue to pray for you.